After the spice mines of Kessel, I wouldn't consider a little turbo ski slope too dangerous. Hey, maybe we could ask Threepio to tell us the odds of successfully negotiating that slope when we get back. Han shook his head and gave a lopsided grin. I'm not interested in odds. We did it. That's what counts. Kip stared across the frozen distance. His eyes seemed to follow the arrow-straight lines of non-reflective water conduits ringed with pressure joints and pumping stations. I'm glad we've had so much fun, Han, he said, staring into something only he seemed to see. I've done a lifetime's worth of healing since you rescued me. Han felt uncomfortable at the thick emotion he heard in Kip's voice. He tried to lighten the mood. Well, kid, you had as much to do with our escape as I did. Kip didn't seem to hear. I've been thinking about what Luke Skywalker said when he found my ability to use the Force. I only know a little bit about it, but it seems to be calling me. I could do a huge service to the New Republic. The Empire ruined my life and destroyed my family. I wouldn't mind getting a chance to strike back. Han swallowed, knowing what the boy was trying to say. So you think you're ready to go study with Luke and the other Jedi trainees? Kip nodded. I'd rather stay here and have fun for the rest of my life, but... Han said in a soft voice, You deserve it, you know. But Kip shook his head. I think it's time I start taking myself seriously. If I do have this gift of using the Force, I can't let it go to waste. Han gripped the young man's shoulder and squeezed hard, feeling Kip's rangy frame through his bulky gloves. I'll see that you get a good flight to Yavin 4. The whirring hum of repulsor lifts broke the quiet moment. Han looked up as a messenger droid approached, streaking like a chromium projectile over the ice fields. The droid arrowed straight for them. Han muttered, If that's a representative from the Turbo Ski Resort, I'm going to file a complaint about that ice mining machine. We could have been killed. But as the messenger droid hovered over them, lowering itself to Han's eye level, it snapped open a scanning panel and spoke in a genderless monotone. General Solo, please confirm identification. Voice match will be sufficient. Han groaned. Oh, I'm on vacation. I don't want to bother with any diplomatic mess right now. Voice match confirmed. Thank you, the droid said. Prepare to receive encoded message. The droid hovered as it projected a holographic image onto the clean snow. Han recognized the auburn-haired figure of Mon Mothma. He straightened in surprise. The chief of state rarely communicated with him directly. Han, Mon Mothma said in a quiet, troubled voice. He noticed immediately that she had called him by his first name instead of his more formal rank. A fist of sudden dread clenched his stomach. I'm sending you this message because there has been an accident. Admiral Akbar's shuttle crashed on the planet Vortex. Leia was with him, but she's safe and unharmed. The Admiral ejected her to safety before his ship flew out of control directly into a large cultural center. Admiral Akbar managed to power up his crash shields, but the entire structure was destroyed. So far, at least 358 Vors are confirmed dead in the wreckage. This is a tragic day for us, Han. Come home to Imperial City. I think Leia might need you as soon as she returns. Mon Mothma's image wavered, then dissolved into staticky snowflakes that faded in the air. The messenger droid said, Thank you. Here is your receipt. It spat out a tiny blue chit that landed in a puff of snow at Han's feet. Han stared as the droid turned and streaked back toward the base camp. He squashed the blue chit into the snow with the base of his turbo ski. He felt sick. The excitement he had just experienced, all the joy with Kip, had evaporated, leaving only a leaden dread inside him. Come on, Kip, let's go. C-3PO thought that if his fine motor control had allowed it, his entire golden body would be chattering with cold. His internal thermal units were no match for the frozen polar regions of Coruscant. He was a protocol droid, fluent in over 6 million forms of communication. He was able to perform an incredible number of diverse tasks, all of which seemed more appealing at the moment than babysitting a pair of wild 2.5-year-olds who saw him as their plaything. 3PO had taken the twins to the snow play area at the bottom of the ice slopes where they could ride tame tauntauns. Little Jason and his sister Jaina seemed to enjoy the spitting, cumbersome creatures, and the Umgullion rancher who had brought the furry animals to Coruscant seemed delighted to have the business. Afterward, 3PO had stoically endured as the twins insisted on making a snow droid of him, packing layers of snow around his shiny body. He still felt ice crystals caked inside his joints. As he enhanced the output from his optical sensors, 3PO thought that his golden alloy had taken on a decidedly bluish tinge from the low temperature. On a sledding slope, the twins spun around, giggling and shrieking as they bounced against padded restraints in a child's snow skimmer. 3PO waited for them at the bottom, then began the long trudge back up the hill so the children could do it all over again. He felt like a low-capacity labor droid with too little computing power to understand the drudgery of its own existence. "Oh, how I wish Master Solo would get back soon," he said. At the top of the ramp, he secured Jason and Jaina snugly into their seats. In tandem, they looked up at him with rosy-cheeked faces. Humans claimed to find the winter chill exhilarating. 3PO wished he had outfitted himself with more efficient low-temperature lubricants. "Now, you children, be careful on the ride down," he said. "I shall meet you at the bottom and bring you back up." He paused. "Again." He launched the children in the spinning snow skimmer. Jason and Jaina laughed and squealed as feathers of snow sprayed down the slope. 3PO began to move with a rapid gait down the long ramp. When he reached the bottom, the twins were already attempting to unstrap themselves. Jaina had managed to disconnect one buckle, though the attendant at the equipment rental station had assured 3PO that the restraints were utterly childproof. "Children, leave that alone," he said. He refastened Jaina's restraint and switched on the hover field beneath the snow skimmer. He grasped the handles and began to climb back up the slope to the launching platform. When he reached the top, both twins shouted, "Again!" in unison, as if their minds were linked. 3PO decided it was time to lecture the children about overindulgence in enjoyment, but before he could formulate a speech with the appropriate levels of sternness and vocabulary, a crowded shuttle skimmer arrived. Han Solo emerged, pulling back the hood of his gray parka and balancing his turbo skis on his left shoulder. Kip Duron followed him out of the transport. 3PO raised a golden arm. "Over here," he said. "Master Solo, over here." "Daddy," Jaina said. Jason echoed her a fraction of a second later. "Thank heavens," 3PO said, and started to unfasten the restraints. "Get ready to go," Han said, as he marched forward, his expression unaccountably troubled. 3PO reached forward, about to begin his litany of complaints, but Han dropped the bulky turbo skis into the droid's arms. "Master Solo, is something wrong?" 3PO tried to balance the heavy skis. "Sorry to cut your vacation short, kids, but we have to get back home," Han said, ignoring the droid. 3PO straightened. "I'm very glad to hear that, sir. I don't mean to complain, but I was not designed for temperature extremes." He felt an impact against the back of his head as a large lump of snow splattered him. "Oh," he said, raising his arms in alarm, barely managing to keep hold of the skis. "Master Solo, I must protest," he said. Jason and Jaina giggled as they each picked up another snowball to throw at the droid. Han turned to the twins. "Stop playing with 3PO, you two. We have to get back home." Down in the repair bays of the revamped Imperial Palace on Coruscant, Lando Calrissian couldn't imagine how Chewbacca managed to cram his enormous furry body inside the Falcon's narrow maintenance crawlway. Standing in the corridor, Lando saw the Wookiee as a tangle of brown fur wedged between the emergency power generator, the acceleration compensator, and the anti-concussion field generator. Chewbacca let out a yowl as he dropped a hydro spanner. The tool bounced and fell with a series of ricocheting clangs until it landed in a completely inaccessible spot. The Wookiee snarled and then let out a yelp as he banged his shaggy head on a coolant pipe. Now, Chewbacca," Lando said, brushing back his sleek cape and sticking his arm into the maintenance crawlway. He tried to point toward the circuitry. "That goes here, and this goes there." Chewbacca grumbled back, disagreeing. "Look, Chewie, I know this ship like the back of my hand, too. I owned her for quite a few years, you know." Chewbacca made a string of ululating sounds that echoed inside the enclosed chamber. All right, have it your way. I can work the access hatches on the outside hull. I'll retrieve your hydrospanner. Who knows what other junk we'll find there? Lando turned and made his way to the entry ramp, stomping down into the cacophony of shouted requests and engine noises in the starship mechanic bay. The air smelled oily and stifling, tainted with gaseous coolants and exhaust fumes from small diplomatic shuttles to large freighters. Human and alien engineers worked on their ships. Stubby ugnaughts clambered inside access hatches and chattered at each other, requesting tools and diagrams for fixing troublesome engines. Admiral Akbar's carefully picked crew of Calamarian starship mechanics oversaw special modifications to small vessels in the New Republic fleet. Terpfen, Akbar's chief mechanic, wandered from ship to ship, status board in hand, verifying requested repairs and scrutinizing the work with his glassy fish eyes. Lando pried open the access hatch on the Falcon's outer hull. The hydrospanner clattered out and fell into his outstretched hands, along with burned-out cyber fuses, a discarded hyperdrive shunt, and the wrapper from a package of dehydrated food. "Got it, Chewbacca?" he shouted. The Wookiee's answer was muffled inside the cramped access hatch. Lando looked at the scorch marks along the Falcon's battered hull. The ship seemed to be one massive collection of patches and repairs. He ran a calloused hand along the hull, caressing the metal. "Hey, what are you doing to my ship?" Lando jerked his hand away from the Falcon and looked around guiltily to see Han Solo approaching. Chewbacca bellowed a greeting from the maintenance crawlway. Han's face reflected a thunderstorm of bad moods as he strode across the debris-strewn floor of the mechanic bay. "I need my ship right now. Is she ready to fly?" Han said. Lando put his hands at his side. "I was just making some repairs and modifications, old buddy. What's the problem?" "Who told you you can make any modifications?" Han looked unaccountably angry. "Chewie, we've got to fly right away. Why did you let this clown mess around with my engines?" "Wait a minute, Han. This used to be my ship, you know," Lando said, not knowing what had provoked such anger in his friend. "Besides, who rescued this ship from Kessel? Who saved your tail from the Imperial fleet?" C-3PO hastened stiffly into the mechanic bay. "Ah, greetings, General Calrissian," he said. Lando ignored the droid. "I lost the Lady Luck rescuing your ship. I'd think that deserves a little gratitude, don't you? In fact, since I sacrificed my own ship to save your hide, I thought maybe you'd be grateful enough to give me back the Falcon." "Oh, my," 3PO said. "That is an idea that might warrant some consideration, Master Solo." "Shut up, 3PO, Han said, without glancing in the droid's direction. "Looks like you've got an attitude problem, Han," Lando said, with a grin he knew would annoy his friend. But Han had stepped over the bounds of common courtesy with his snappish accusations, and Lando had no intention of letting him get away with it. Han looked ready to explode. Lando couldn't figure out what was bothering him. "My problem is you've been sabotaging my ship. I don't ever want you touching her again. Do you understand? Get your own ship. Seems to me that with the million credit reward you got at the blob races on Umgol, you could buy just about any ship you want and stop messing around with mine."
"An excellent idea, sir," 3PO added helpfully. "With that amount of money, General Calrissian, you could indeed buy a fine ship."
"Be quiet, 3PO, Lando said, putting his hands on his hips.
"I don't want to buy another ship, old buddy." He stressed the last two words with thick sarcasm. "If I can't have the Lady Luck, I want the Falcon."
"Your wife is the Minister of State, Han. You can have the government provide you with any sort of transport you want. Why not get yourself a new fighter right from the Calamarian shipyards?"
"I'm certain that could be arranged, sir," 3PO agreed.
"Shut up, 3PO, Han said again, keeping his eyes on Lando.
"I don't want any old ship. The Falcon is mine."
Lando glowered at Han.
"You won her from me in a sabacc game. And to tell you the truth, old buddy, I've always suspected you cheated in that game."
Han became livid, backing away.
"You're accusing me of cheating? I've been called a scoundrel before, but never a cheat. In fact, it seems to me," he said in a low, threatening voice, "that you won the Falcon yourself in a sabacc game before I came along. Didn't you also win the Cloud City Tibana gas mines from the former Baron Administrator in a sabacc game? What could you possibly have used as collateral for a bet like that? You're a dirty, no-good swindler, Lando. Admit it.
And you're a pirate,
Lando said, stalking forward, his fists bunched at his side. He had made his reputation as an expert gambler. Chewbacca growled from within the Falcon, making loud clangs and thumps as he extricated himself from the cramped passage. He stumbled down the entry ramp and stood gripping the piston supports. As Han and Lando closed to within striking distance, 3PO wriggled in between them.
Excuse me, sirs, but might I make a suggestion? If indeed you both run the ship in a sabacc game, and if you are contesting the results, could you perhaps simply play another game of sabacc to settle this issue once and for all?
3PO turned his glowing optical sensors first at Lando, then at Han.
I just came down here to get my ship, Han said, but now you've made it into a point of honor.
Lando glared at Han without flinching.
I can beat you any day of the week, Han Solo.
Not this day, Han said, lowering his voice even further. But not just sabacc. We'll make it random sabacc. Lando raised his eyebrows, but met Han's gaze stare for stare.
Who's going to keep track of the plays?
Han jerked his chin to the side.
We'll use 3PO as our modulator. Goldenrod doesn't have enough brains to cheat.
But, sir, I really don't have the programming to...
3PO said. Han and Lando snapped in unison.
Shut up, 3PO.
All right, Han, Lando said. Let's do it before you lose your nerve.
You're going to lose more than nerve before this game is over, Han said.
As Lando set up the cards on the sabacc table, Han Solo ushered the last of the off-duty bureaucrats toward the door of the small lounge.
Out! Come on! We need to use this place for a while.
They grumbled and objected in a variety of languages, but Han assisted them through the entryway with gentle shoves.
File a complaint with the New Republic.
Then he closed and sealed the door, turning to Lando.
You ready yet?
This was far different from the stuffy, smoke-filled parlors where he used to play sabacc, such as the underground game where he had once won a planet for Leia in an attempt to buy her affections. At the sabacc table, Lando spread out a handful of rectangular cards with crystalline screens sandwiched between metal layers.
Ready when you are, buddy.
But he looked uneasy.
Han, we don't really have to do this.
Han sniffed the air, frowning at the cloying smells of deodorizing mists and ambassadorial perfumes.